Chapter 16. And back we go. The road was cracked dirt. The tromping of the horse's hooves beat into Godric's head like a drum, numbing every other sense as the boredom of their trek back to the capital set in. The party had already been marching for a day. They were trying to set their best pace possible back to the capital. Someone could potentially do something about the king. At the very least, they must bring the body of the king back to the capital so that everyone may know what happened to him and he may be given a proper burial. It was up to them to return the monarch to his throne. Maybe there could be some miracle and he could still be saved. Godric had read about such things in books, though the stories were somewhat fanciful and exaggerated. Perhaps some small truth was held in them, that death wasn't really the end? Godric himself had so many questions for the king. He'd only had a few moments before the king had breathed his last to ask one of the multitude of questions that had been burdening him over the last few weeks. He had so many more, so much more he needed to understand. The book that was burning a hole in his Astrax bag. How did it work? Why was it his? What did the king know about the ritual? Why had it gone wrong? What did it mean that the guardian now thought that Godric was the king? All of these questions Godric wanted answering, and by taking the king back to the capital, maybe he would find a solution to some of them. As the day wore on and the monotony became unbearable, Mirim finally piped up.
Okay, I'm just gonna ask. Haddock, how do you know about smuggling a body out of a city? That was some very specific advice you gave. Sounds like you kinda had some experience in the matter.
Haddock turned to look at Mirim. His usual grumpy expression stuck to his face as always. He shrugged.
I didn't exactly enroll myself in the Legion, volunteering-like. I may have been given an ultimatum. Serve time at his king's leisure or join the military. You see, previously, I kind of consider it in another life, I worked with, how do I say it? An organisation. They fixed things. They were kind of handymen, if you like. You had a problem that needed sorting out. You called this organisation and we fixed it. All I'll say is that you'd call us and we made the problem go away. I shall say no more, as, like I said, I consider that another life, and I am currently paying my dues.
It appeared he was done with his explanation. The party knew that Haddock was a halfling of few words, so even an explanation that long they had not expected. Apparently, he really did feel some regret for whatever he had done in his past, and joining the Legion was his way of repentance, or paying back to society, his community service. Seemingly satisfied with this answer, the party fell back into awkward silence, the hooves of the horse returning to their incessant thumping. A few more minutes passed, and apparently it was again unbearable for Mirim, and the subject of Godric's sprint through the town came up.
So, Godric, you never did explain why you were running through the street but naked. How did you end up in that situation? You're supposed to be a legionnaire, at least have some class about you.
Blasted boar took my clothes as I was going for a bath.
The entire party turned and stared at him, a questioning look in all of their eyes. He understood that they wanted a further explanation, but realized nothing he said would make it any better. Instead, he opted to simply shrug and looked straight ahead. Ferrin stifled a giggle, and Centurion Darris's frown deepened, if that was even possible at this point. Centurion Darris had been apoplectic at finding Godric sat on the ground, manhandling the king. He had sent the team on various errands to gather all the equipment they needed to smuggle the king out of the town.
"Well, that's not a proper way to impress a lady, I must say. Though it did work."
At this, the entire party broke down into snorts and giggles. What was with this girl? Subtlety went straight out the window. The rest of the day passed in awkward silence. The sun made its way across the sky and slowly began to dip below the horizon. The team felt they were on a time limit. They had to get the king back to the capital so that something could potentially be done to help him. The longer they took, the lower the chances that anything could be done. It was a hot day, and the king had already started to smell rather unkingly. Their speed was also important, as they wanted to avoid highway robbers. A party of this many would be able to hold their own, but they were carrying the king of the ascendancy, his royal robes and all. Should someone get wind of what they were doing and where they were headed, they would be the target of every thieves' guild on the continent. As such, they pushed on longer than maybe they should have. The sun had set, and it wasn't until they were struggling to see the road in front of them that Centurion Darris suggested it may be time to camp. The audible groans from the rest of his team showed Godric that they were at least as exhausted as he was. Centurion Darris had set an unrelenting pace, wanting to reach the capital as soon as possible. He had the benefit of decades of experience in the Legion, whereas the rest of the group were mostly made up of new recruits and younger members. Thankfully, they all had tents that they could pitch, though they were somewhat short on food supplies. A nighttime rota was set up, and Thud and Godric were given the illustrious task of foraging for food. They had done so well on their last gathering expedition that Centurion Darris chose to grace them with this wonderful gift. Having marched for the entire day, having blisters on their blisters, and nighttime having already fallen, the challenge ahead of them was set. Thankfully, Godric, being a Leodin and having been highly trained from a young age, he could see very clearly, even at nighttime. This had saved his bacon on the estate many times, though now he was using it for real, in the wild. Master Marl and many of his other tutors had tried to drill into him the importance of knowing correct foraging technique. Memorizing the edible plants, learning how to avoid the poisonous ones, and how to prepare foods that one found in the wild. Unfortunately, having marched for an entire day, and what Godric considered more, he was exhausted. Godric and Thud had already hiked what felt like the length and breadth of the continent with Centurion Darris over the last week, and now they had been sent out on foraging duty, yet more trudging through the mud, but now it was dark. Thud obviously wasn't taking to this job, as he picked up various bits of flora off the ground and was throwing it into a sack, not caring whether it was edible or even clean. Thud did at one point stumble across a bush of what Godric identified as juju berries.
delicious, juicy, calorific. However, the dwarf simply munched them down on the spot. The firm, purple, juicy berries had Godric's mouth watering. Alas, before he even got a chance to question what that was doing, the entire bush had been picked clean. They continued on their hunt, Godric not sure that Thud was picking up anything of use, mostly ferns, dried leaves, and the occasional twiglet. Godric suddenly noticed Thud pick up a glowing mushroom, look at it intently, smile, and place it into his pack.
"What was that?"
The dwarf still had a cheeky smirk on his face. He turned to Godric, one eyebrow raised.
"What do you know about dwarf cuisine?"
"Well, I'm pretty sure that thing is poisonous. It was glowing, after all."
Thud simply grunted, a deep guttural grunt, almost a growl.
Okay, I guess you'd know.
Another grunt, less threatening this time. He really was a dwarf of few words. In the end, they only gathered some meagre scraps, not counting the many leaves and twigs that Thud stuffed into his pack. Godric was pleased with what he had gathered, though, in his exhausted state, he couldn't entirely remember the difference between Dryad's favour and Dryad's kiss. One of them turned your hair green, and the other was perfectly harmless, if not delicious. Alas, some greener hair could be a nice change. It was a risk he was willing to take. Hopefully, none of the others would mind. They made their way back to camp, sheepishly carrying their meagre haul. Thud maintained his smirk, something that put Godric rather on edge. Fiffle had managed to capture a wild rabbit, and with their meagre spoils and the gamey meat, they managed to cook up not entirely disappointing stew. Thud was rather too enthusiastic about handing out the bowls and dishing out the stew. Everyone ate the stew with gusto, drinking from the bottom of their bowls and pleading for more. Surprisingly, it was Centurion Darius who was overcome by exhaustion first, falling face first into his empty bowl of stew, fast asleep. At this, Thud turned to the group at large, shaking a cup with some dice in.
"Anyone play?"
No one seemed up for it. It had been an exhausting day. To sweeten the deal, Thud delved into his pack and pulled out a can. Showing the label so everyone could see, he rattled it, showing the party it was still at least half full. A can of coffee beans, specifically coffee beans grown in the frigid heights of the Furious Mountains. A delicacy across the continent. How Thud had got hold of these, Godric didn't know. The fact he'd held on to them for this length of time was nothing short of amazing. This was a prize he was willing to stay up for. Seeing the eagerness of his fellow legionnaires, Thud smirked.
"Liar's dice. Winner takes all."
He rattled the can of coffee beans for emphasis.
"Every second three's a wild. Fives don't count. Seven takes it home. Everyone ready? What's your buying?"
And so the game began. Ferrin had sheepishly tried to pawn her buy-in off as the rubies she had found in the king's pocket. The rest pulled various trinkets and foodstuffs from their bags.
Godric had offered one of the books he carried with him, an exhilarating story about a half-man, half-serpent who travelled the seas for adventure and to gain gold and power. He instantly regretted this move when he heard someone mention the idea of using it for toilet paper. Stuffing the book back into his bag, he simply opted to buy in with gold. One would have thought that Thud, being so enthusiastic at the start, would have won easily. But it appeared the march and the long day and the lack of food had really taken its toll on the poor dwarf. Maybe he hadn't replaced all the blood he lost fighting the wolves in the glittering forest of Glitten. Godric also suspected that Thud had a gambling problem, and therefore was unlikely to be the clear winner here. As the game progressed, it turned out that Ferrin was by far and away the best player of Liar's Dice. She had scampered across the rocks and between trees like she weighed nothing. The march had been easy on her, and her mind was clear, her lies difficult to penetrate, her persuasion strong. Liar's Dice was clearly a hidden talent of hers. Winner takes all. Winner takes all, Ferrin ended up with a pleasing haul. The coffee beans, Godric's gold, and the trinkets offered by the other players, including a surprisingly fancy hat from Haddock. Where the halfling had been storing it and why he had it in the first place, nobody knew. Alas, at this point, the exhaustion had set in utterly, and the entire camp settled down for what was left of the night. What little sleep they would get would have to do. They would be doing more than a full day's march tomorrow. Thank you for listening to Book to New Worlds so far. I really hope you're enjoying it. It's been quite a challenge from my end to generate a story out of thin air, on the fly, and improv it into an audiobook as we go. I feel we've been getting better at it as we go. It started off with a bit more input from me, but as we go, the audience has had more say and I've been able to improv better and better. I felt like this week, though shorter, flowed very nicely. It's very helpful if you can come and join the live streams on Twitch or Discord and interact and give suggestions for what the various characters should say and do at any time. If you have any ideas for how to improve the story or the method we use, please do come tell me. There is a Patreon if you'd like to support the production of this or the other podiobooks that I make. You can find links to that in the description, and you can find links to all of the various free and paid audiobooks I make in my Discord channel. Thank you so much again, and we shall continue with the story.